For the benefit of listeners who heard Columbia's broadcast of today's international polo matches, the final score of the game was 11-7 in favor of the American team. So, you think you know music? Well, this is the hour of musical judgment. The Columbia Broadcasting System presents opus number one of a new series of programs, The Hour of Musical Fun. Test your musical IQ along with the four fearless, fate-defying contestants recruited from the studio audience to match wits with our judge, Frank Macaluso. The musical problems will be based on popular symphonies, operas, and the lighter classics. So, you think you know music? Well, CBS invites you to put on your musical thinking caps, sharpen up your wits and pencils, for here's the man who asks the questions, Ted Kott.
Thank you very much, David Ross. Thank you, David Ross, and thank goodness that I'm asking the questions and not answering them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the informal hour of formal music, where anything can happen and everything probably will. To illustrate the point, I should like to tell a short story. All of you are familiar with the intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana. Well, the man who wrote that, Pietro Mascagni, was disturbed one day by the jarring jangle of his famous intermezzo being played on a hand organ. The tempo was ragged, and Mascagni's nerves followed suit. His composer's soul outraged, he ran into the street and showed the incipient musician the proper speed in turning the crank. The next day, Mascagni heard music again. Same intermezzo, the same organ grinder, playing beautifully, too. Mascagni looked out, and there on the organ was a sign. Pupil of the celebrated Mascagni. The question now arises, just what is the musical IQ? A brief definition of terms before we proceed. The musical part is self-explanatory. The IQ stands for Inquisition. Judge Macaluso is on our right. We await the contestants. David Ross.
All right, contestant number one, Mr. Andrew Jaramel, student at Columbia University. Now, Mr. Jaramel is an ardent admirer of the three B's of music, Bach, Beethoven, and Benny Goodman.
We welcome you to our hour of musical fun, Mr. Jaramel. Here's the first question we have for you. In fact, it's the first question that we have for anybody. How many keys are there on a standard piano? Don't answer till you see the whites of the notes.
There are 88.
88. 88 is right. There are four parts to this question. Each counts 25 points. Now, how many white keys and many black?
Well, now there are 56 of one, I think. subtracting, that would be given.
Well, suppose we save you a lot of mathematical gyrations there. There are 52 white and 36 black. That's very easy to remember. There are 52 white keys, the same number of weeks in the year. Now, here's the third part. How many strings does a violin possess?
Four.
Four is correct, and here's the last part. Will you name them, please?
Which way?
Either way.
G-D-A-E.
G-D-A-E or E-A-D-G. That's very, very excellently done, Mr. John Arnell. And there are 75 points for your score. Now, Mr. Ross, the second contestant.
Second contestant, Miss Mary Fitzpatrick, formerly principal of a junior high school, plays no musical instrument, but is a music lover.
Miss Fitzpatrick, we're very happy to have you on our hour of musical fun. You're nervous? Well, you have to do more than just nod ahead. The radio audience can't
hear. No, I'm not nervous.
All right. Well, now, Miss Fitzpatrick, they say that behind every famous man there's a woman responsible for his success. And who are we to disagree? Well, we have five famous composers. And your task is to tell us the name of the woman responsible for his inspiration. Cherche la femme. The first is Richard Wagner.
Well, there were two. There were Mathilde de Wesendonck and then Cosima Liszt.
Well, Cosima Liszt would be very acceptable, and Madame von Meissendonck would do very, very well. He had a first wife, too, and we might consider her also.
Her name was Planner, I think.
A very prolific gentleman, Mr. Wagner. Now, for the second one, how about Frédéric Chopin?
Oh, Georges Sand.
Georges Sand. That sounds like a man's name.
Well, her name was Aurore, something or other. And she was the wife of a man named Duvan.
That's right. Madame Duvan, Georges Sand, has her pen name. And now here's the third one. This is a very, very difficult one, Miss Fitzpatrick. Hector Berlioz.
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, the woman who was responsible for his inspiration was the woman who inspired him to write the Fantastic Six Symphony and many other of his great works. She was an Irish actress. Her name was Henrietta Smithson. Now, here's the fourth one. Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky.
Oh, Madame von Meck.
Madame von Meck, that's correct. She was the one who subsidized him for many years. And the fifth and last, Robert Schumann.
Well, it was his wife, Clara.
Clara Wieck, that's Wieck, right, yes. The daughter of his piano teacher. Yes. That's very, very, very well done, Miss Fitzpatrick. Now, Mr. Ross, we have the next contestant.
Indeed, contestant number three is David L. Delman, an attorney at law, member of the New York and Federal Bar. Plays the violin, of course, with consideration for his neighbors. All right.
Mr. Delman, we welcome you to our hour of musical fun. And this next question is child's play. We have five famous compositions, and we'd like to exchange the name of the composition for the name of the composer. The correct name of the composer. We have to be very careful, you lawyers. There are five of them, Mr. Delman. The first is the Children's Coroner Suite.
That's the Debussy.
That's right, Claude Debussy. The second is the Mother Goose Suite. Mother Goose Suite. Child's play, Mr. Delman.
It is child. That's an American.
As we tell you, it's a French composer. His name.
Ravel. Yeah.
That's correct. Judge Mandeluther, you have to decide whether he came in quickly enough on that one. Number three, Adventures in a Perambulator.
That's by Alden Carpenter.
That's right. He's an American composer, John Alden Carpenter. Now, how about Variations on a Nursery Tune?
That's by Dohnányi.
That's right. Ernst von Dohnányi. And the last is the Toy Symphony.
That's by Haydn.
That's right. Franz Joseph Papa Haydn.
And the next, Miss Claire King, a sales lady, studied the piano, but doesn't consider herself the female counterpart of Paderewski, do you?
Hi.
Mrs. King, we're very happy to have you, and here's the first question for you. If you were attending an all Richard Strauss concert, which of the following could you expect to hear and why? Now, we have five things. The first is selections from a biblical opera. The second, The Wind Machine. The third, The Beautiful Blue Danube. The fourth, Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks. And the fifth, A Bazooka.
The Beautiful Blue Danube.
You would expect to hear that at an all Richard Strauss.
Oh, Richard Strauss, I'm very sorry. I thought you said Johann.
Well, we're equally sorry.
Oh, will you repeat them again, please?
Selections from the Biblical Opera, A Wind Machine, The Beautiful Blue Danube, Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks, and A Bazooka.
Well, I would say three, except the Bazooka and the Blue Danube.
That's correct. selections from his biblical opera Salome, A Wind Machine, that's one of the sound effects in his symphonic poem Don Quixote, and Till Eulenspiegel's Merry Pranks, one of Strauss's better-known symphonic poems. A Bazooka, of course, belongs to Bob Burns, and The Beautiful Blue Danube belongs to Johann Strauss. Thank you, Miss King. That's a perfect score for you. And now for the second round, Mr. Jarmel, we welcome you back to the microphone, and here's the problem that we have for each of our four contestants and, of course, the radio audience. I am going to impersonate a musical instrument. Do not fear, I will make no sounds except those of articulate speech. Mr. Jarmel, the Greeks had a use for me, and later I was adopted by the Romans. When in Rome, do as the Romans do, and I did. I was the martial instrument of the Roman armies. During the Middle Ages, I could be heard in every part of Europe, playing religious as well as secular music. I don't make many appearances anymore. However, I am still played in Scotland, and have achieved my greatest perfection in Ireland. What am I?
You are a bagpipe.
That's right, Mr. Jarmel. Bagpipes, the ill woodwinds that nobody blows good. Thank you, Mr. Jarmel. And now, Miss Fitzpatrick. Miss Fitzpatrick, will you come to the microphone? This time, Miss Fitzpatrick, I'm quite an old girl. I'll change my voice for that. I've been around since the early days of the world. The Egyptians used me, and the Greeks, and the Romans. Back in the 18th century, I was adopted to the palace of the famous Prussian king, Frederick the Great. And just between us, Miss Fitzpatrick, the old boy wasn't so hot. I have a range of three octaves. Come up and hear me in an orchestra sometime. What am I?
I don't know.
Well, suppose I tell you. We've given you lots of hints. It's a very old instrument. It was played by a famous Prussian king, Frederick the Great. Does that help?
And you said it was used by the Greeks?
Yes, it was used by the Greeks, the Romans, the Egyptians.
Lyre?
No, it's not lyre, it's the flute. The flute, the famous instrument that Frederick the Great played on. All right, Mr. Delman. Mr. Delman, I've had a lot of musical doctoring through the ages and have become the most complicated and difficult of all the woodwinds. As a matter of fact, I'm Siamese twins. I was born with two reeds. My present job is that of guide. They use me to tune up the orchestra. What am I?
You're an oboe.
I am an oboe.
Or rather, oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh boy, 100 points for you, Mr. Delman. And now, Miss King. Miss King, hit me again. I love it. Don't be afraid. I can take it. Say, do you hear that flute talking? Say, I've been around longer than her and I've done more worthwhile work. I was helpful like the telephone and telegraph. They used to use me to send messages. The world's my concert hall, and I've been known to frighten and inspire. I have a pretty big family, but knock with wood, we've never been on relief. I'm the tough boy of the orchestra. Hit me again. I love it. What am I, Miss King?
Oh, is that the part of the timpani and the drums?
The timpani or the drums. That's very, very well done. Now, Mr. Jarmel, will you come back to the microphone? This is the third group of questions. Now, here's the problem for each of our contestants. Suppose you were running an employment agency, and for people, all you could draw upon were characters from operas. They can be either the standard operatic repertoire or from the works of Gilbert and Sullivan. Mr. Jarmel, we have three placements for you to make. The first is a toreador. Who would you hire for a toreador?
Escamillo.
That's right, Escamillo, and you'd probably get him from Carmen. Now, suppose your shoes needed fixing. What would you do? Who would you get to have them fixed by?
Figaro.
Your shoes?
Oh, my shoes? I'm sorry. I thought I wanted to get my
We have a very intelligent audience
Hans
here today.
Hans Sachs.
Prompting. Hans Sachs. That's right. He's from Demeistersinger. And suppose you needed an Egyptian soldier to command an army for you?
Radames out of Aida.
Radames out of Aida. That's right. All three of them perfect, Mr. Jarmel. 100 points. All right, Miss Fitzpatrick. Suppose you were Howard Barlow, and you needed a second trombone for the Columbia Symphony Orchestra.
I'd get Nanky Poo from the Mikado.
That's right, you get Nanky Poo. Now, how about a Lord High Executioner? I don't know what you'd be doing with one, but I suppose you did need a Lord High Executioner. Where would you get him from?
That would be from the same opera, Coco.
Coco? Sounds like baby talk, doesn't it, Miss Fitzpatrick? Now, suppose you needed the commander of Her Majesty's ship, Pinafore.
Captain Corcoran.
Captain Corcoran, that's right. 100 points for you. Mr. Delman, our lawyer, will you come to the microphone now? Suppose you needed a cigarette girl to make some special cigarettes for you, Mr. Delman.
Carmen.
Carmen. Carmen from the opera
from the
same
opera,
name. Now, suppose you needed a shave. You don't, Mr. Delman, but suppose you did. Who would you get to do the job?
I'd get Figaro.
Figaro from the Barber of Seville. Now, how about a clown? Suppose you were putting on a circus and you needed a clown.
Well, Tonio would do.
Tonio from Pagliacci. Yes. Well, those are the three that you had to place and did a very good job. All right, Miss King. Miss King, we have three for you. Suppose you needed a lieutenant in the United States Navy.
Pinkerton from Madame Butterfly.
That's right. Benjamin Franklin Pinkerton from Madame Butterfly, the opera of Puccini. Now, of course, this is something that we really shouldn't encourage. But suppose you needed somebody to commit a murder for you. Where would you go?
What was his name from Verdi's... Spatter Puccini or something
well, that's
like that.
That's pretty good. I'm sorry I couldn't help you, but I asked the questions here. Don't answer them.
From Rigoletto.
Spatter Puccini from Rigoletto. That's correct. Judge Macaluso, shall we assign full credit? Yes, he says yes. He nods his head. Judge Macaluso never speaks on the program. He just nods his head yes or no. Suppose we needed a court jester. This is the last one, Miss King.
Well, that would be Rigoletto.
That would be Rigoletto. That's very, very nicely done. And now, Mr. Jarmel, the next group of questions have been regimented under the general title of the voice of the people, but really the voice. You know, many times you turn to a friend and you say, well, it goes like this, and you go, mm-hmm-hmm. That's my singing debut on the radio. Well, you know how it goes. Well, we have four tunes that require the creative and artistic powers of our four contestants. We'll state the tune, and the contestant must either sing, shout, whistle, or by any other manipulation of the vocal cords, let us know that they know the tune. How do you feel, Mr. Schiller?
Nervous.
Well, Mr. Schiller, suppose you do the anvil chorus for us from Il Trovatore e Verdi.
With the anvils?
With the anvil, we couldn't think of leaving them out.
Bum, ba-bum, ta-dum, 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 ta-dum.
Mr. Jarmel, you make a wonderful anvil. Miss Fitzpatrick, you look pretty much of an individualistic sort of person, but how'd you like to be the quartet from Rigoletto for us? You can either sing, shout, whistle,
yes,
or even grunt. Who are we to deprive the person of...
La, 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 la,
la. Is that your debut too, Miss Fitzpatrick? She likes it. She's going ahead. All right, that's done very, very nicely, Miss Fitzpatrick. The 100 points are yours. Mr. Delman, back to our microphone again. And we'd like you to do Lily Pond's favorite aria from Rigoletto. Cara Nome. With the coloratura trills, Mr. Dunn.
Let me try to get to the right A there.
Mr. Delman took out a tuning instrument from his pocket and sounded the note.
I thought it might give me some inspiration. Let me see that. Cara Nome.
That's from Rigoletto.
I know where it is from. It just won't come, the melody.
On the tip of your tongue, isn't it?
That's it. I'm afraid I'll pass up on that.
You'll pass up on that. Well, now, we really can't pass up on that, so we're going to call on somebody from the radio audience to do that for us. From the studio audience, this gentleman right over here in the front, would you like to come to the microphone? What is your name, please, for posterity?
Jonathan Sternberg.
Mr. Sternberg, do you want to get around the microphone?
Right.
Incidentally, posterity, we understand, is just around the corner. And, let's hear how Cara Nome from Rigoletto goes.
Da-da-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Da-da-dum.
Very nicely done, Miss Sternberg. We thank you very much. Of course, we don't think that Lily Pons will have very much to worry about. Not too much. All right, Miss King. How about the first movement from the Fifth Symphony of Beethoven?
Da-da-dum-dum.
Our contestants are really excellent performers. Very noble artists. All right, Mr. Jarmel, will you come to the microphone? And here's the problem that we have for everybody, our four contestants, and, of course, for the radio audience. Incidentally, how are you doing today, radio audience? Well, here's the problem. A wise man by name William Shakespeare, by play Hamlet, once said, speaking of women... which would appear to be about the only safe way to deal with the species. God gives them one face, and they make for themselves another. Well, in much the same spirit, men are dissatisfied with the given names of things and set about to improve, the results being quaint and diverse. And so we find people hailing friends in amazing fashions as thusly, "Hey, Red," or in the manner of a group of schoolboys who affectionately, although secretly, refer to a professor as Old Man Adjective. Now, our music lovers have fallen in with the same practice and renamed their symphonies. And so for this round, we play the game of symphonic nicknames. I'll give you the baptismal title, Mr. Jarmel, and you give me the accepted nickname. Wouldn't it be funny calling Beethoven Butch? Well, here is the first one. The Symphony No. 9 of Beethoven.
That's the chorale.
You sound as though you have great disdain in your... voice.
No, I like it. I think it's good.
You like the symphony?
Yeah.
Well, it's a very fine symphony. The Symphony No. 9 of Beethoven, the Chorale Symphony. Now, the second, Mr. Jarmel, is the Symphony No. 4 in A major of Mendelssohn.
That's Italian.
That's the famous Italian symphony. That's correct. Now, here's the third one that we have for you, the third and the last. The Symphony No. 94 in G major of Haydn. Sounds like inflation.
Wait a minute. It's not the Surprise Symphony.
You might be, though.
Don't tell me it's the Surprise Symphony. That's number 6. Is that the Oxford Symphony?
The Symphony No. 94 in G major, Mr. Schiller, by Haydn. The symphonies by Haydn. Well, suppose we tell you, that is the Surprise Symphony, Mr. Schiller. Mr. Jarmel, I don't know why I've been calling you Mr. Schiller. Are you surprised, Mr. Jarmel?
I am. I think it's number 6.
Well, Judge McLusso says number 94,
all right,
and 94
I submit.
It stays. You submit. All right, Miss Fitzpatrick, here are the three that we have for you. The Symphony No. 8 in B minor of Schubert.
What's the nickname?
Oh, the Unfinished.
That's the famous Unfinished Symphony. The second, the Symphony Number 3 in A Minor of Mendelssohn.
Mendelssohn?
Mm-hmm, Mendelssohn.
I don't know.
Well, that's the famous Scotch Symphony. And here is the third one we have for you, the Symphony Number 41 of Mozart in C Major, I believe. Symphony Number 41 of Mozart.
I know it, but I don't know the name.
You don't know the name? Well, the nickname for that is the Jupiter Symphony. The famous Jupiter Symphony. Should have called on the gods for help for that one, Miss Fitzpatrick. Mr. Delman, here are the three that we have for you to identify for us. Number one, the Symphony Number 6 in F Major of Beethoven.
That's the...
Number 6 of Beethoven.
It's funny, I can think of a synonym for the Rural Symphony.
Well, your country cousin coming in from the World's Fair.
I know it all right. It's the...
Well, suppose
the Pastoral Symphony.
That's right, the Pastoral Symphony. Told you your country cousin could help you.
I said Rural, I gave a synonym for it.
How about the Symphony Number 5 of Dvorak?
That's the New World.
That's the New World Symphony. And the third, the Symphony Number 1 in B-flat major of Schumann.
Number 1? That's the
Symphony
Spring
number...
Symphony.
That's right, that's the Spring Symphony. When the flowers bloom. All right, Miss King. Miss King, here are the last three for you. The Symphony Number 3 of Beethoven.
The Eroica.
That's the famous Eroica Symphony. The Symphony Number 6 in B Minor of Tchaikovsky.
Oh, the Pathetique.
That's right, the famous Pathetique Symphony. And the last one, Miss King, the very last one, the Symphony Number 45 of Haydn.
Oh, dear.
The last one, Miss King.
The Farewell Symphony.
The Farewell Symphony, Miss King. Now, if you go to a concert, the next time you come back, you go home, and the next morning you read the newspapers, and you look at what the critics have to say about the performer and the concert, and you see whether you agree or not. If you don't, why, you invariably say, he's crazy. Now, Mr. Jarmel, we have a group of criticisms here which really are crazy, and we'd like you to tell us why. This is crazy criticism number one. Yasha Heifetz, the well-known cellist, collaborated with Kirsten Flagstad, pianist, in Tchaikovsky's Double Concerto. They were assisted by the Philadelphia Orchestra under the direction of Sergei Koussevitzky. What's wrong with that, Mr. Jarmel?
Well, let's take it point by point. Yasha Heifetz, it begins, the cellist,
yeah.
Is a violinist.
He's a violinist.
What comes next?
Collaborated with Kirsten Flagstad, pianist.
She is a soprano.
And a very good one. In Tchaikovsky's Double Concerto.
Tchaikovsky didn't write a double concerto.
That's right, Tchaikovsky did not write a double concerto. They're assisted by the Philadelphia Orchestra. Is that all right?
Well, it could be all right.
All right, it could be all right. And under the direction of Sergei Koussevitzky...
He conducts the Boston Symphony.
That's right, he's the regular conductor of the Boston Symphony. He's covered all those folks very nicely. Miss Fitzpatrick, here's the second one. Crazy criticism number two. Gilbert's swingy songs and Sullivan's topsy-turvy trivialities brought forth much applause at the premiere in 1885... of their latest opus, The Hot Mikado, or The Lass Who Loved a Sailor. An individual effort by Savoyard Sullivan produced the famous song, Stompin' at the Savoy.
Well, The Hot Mikado is just a recent production. It's an imitation of Gilbert and Sullivan, swinging it. And Gilbert wrote the lyrics and Sullivan the music to the original. And the topsy-turvy part was particularly Gilbertian.
That's right. Now, how about The Hot Mikado or The Lass Who Loved a Sailor?
You well, The Lass Who Loved a Sailor is the alternative title of Pinafore.
That's right. The Town of Titipu is the alternative title
Sullivan
of the Mikado. Now, how about the last statement here? An individual effort by Savoyard Sullivan produced the famous song Stompin' at the Savoy.
Oh, that isn't so.
That isn't so.
No.
No, that's not so. Stompin' at the Savoy is of Tab Calloway's composition, or is it Duke Ellington? One of the troubadours of modern days. Mr. Delman, here is the third crazy criticism. Ludwig von Beethoven, one of the three B's of music, along with Bach and Berlioz, was inspired to write his fifth symphony, subtitled The Eroica, by the disastrous results of his unhappy marriage.
Well, Beethoven wasn't married to begin with, and Berlioz is not one of the three
B's. Who are they?
Well, that's Beethoven, Bach, and Brahms.
That's right. Bach,
and,
Beethoven, and Brahms.
And what is the other?
His fifth symphony, subtitled The Eroica.
No, that's the third. The fifth has no subtitle except The Fate Erroneously.
That's
sometimes.
Right. You've covered them all very nicely, Mr. Gunman. Now, Miss King. Miss King, here's the last one. Let's see what you can find wrong with this. Let's see what you can find right with it. Crazy criticism number four. Grace Moore made another gratifying appearance at the Met last night, and the Canadian contralto's voice never created a better effect than in her soaring rendition of Vesti la Juba.
Well, Grace Moore is a soprano, and she doesn't sing Vesti la Juba. I think that's a tenor.
Let's write that from Pagliacci. Grace Moore made another gratifying appearance at the Met last night. The Canadian contralto's voice...
Oh, of course, she isn't Canadian.
That's right, she's American. And she's not a contralto, she's a soprano, and she couldn't sing Vesti la Juba. Otherwise, everything is all right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to draw a mask over four musical selections and present each of our contestants with the problem of identification. Master music question number one is for you, Mr. Jarmel, and we'd like the name of the composition and the name of the composer.
That is Dawn from Grieg's, or rather Morning, from Grieg's Peer Gynt Suite number one.
You saw the light very quickly, Mr. Jarmel. That is Morning from the Peer Gynt Suite of Edvard Grieg. That's very well done, and now, Miss Fitzpatrick, here's the second masked music question for you. Composition, composer. We tell you. That's the first movement of the famous piano concerto of Tchaikovsky. And now, Mr. Delman, here's the third masked music question, a very familiar one. Let's see whether you can tell us what it is. Number three.
That's the intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana.
That's right, the intermezzo from Cavalleria Rusticana. And what is the name of the composer, Mr. Delman? Mascagni is correct. And now the fourth and last masked music question for today. How are you doing, radio audience?
That's the Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
That is the Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven. That's correct. While we await Judge Macaluso, who is engaged in weighty mathematical problems, we have a game for the radio audience. We will give you five titles of popular songs, and we'd like you to give us the classical equivalent. Mr. Ross, will you act as a musical guinea pig for us show people how it works? Here's an old favorite, All Alone by the Telephone.
Well, I'd say None But the Lonely Heart.
Yes, None But the Lonely Heart. That's a good one. How about Jeepers Creepers?
Well, let's see, Danse Macabre.
The Danse Macabre. That's a very good one. California, Here I Come.
Well, let me take a wild stab. Girl of the Golden West.
The Girl of the Golden West, the opera of Puccini. And the last one, we've had a lot of trouble trying to figure out one for this. Hold tight.
Hold tight, Mr. Ross. Well, that is difficult, I think. Scott Symphony.
The Scott Symphony. And now, Mr. Ross, will you read the titles for our radio audience named detectives in scroll-like tones, if you please, sir?
Very well, in scroll-like tones. First, The Music Goes Round and Round. Two, There'll Be a Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight. Three Little Fishes. You know, they swam and they swam all over the dam. Four, Rockabye Baby. Five, Where Did You Get That Hat?
The music goes around and around. There'll be a hot time in the old town tonight. Three Little Fishes, Rockabye Baby, and Where Did You Get That Hat?
And there are five names for our musical Sherlock Holmes. The person sending in the best five classical equivalents will receive the Columbia's album of Haydn's Surprise Symphony, played by Howard Barlow and the Columbia Broadcasting Symphony Orchestra. Judge Macaluso's decision will be final.
The name of the winner, overcoming strenuous opposition to enter our musical hall of fame, with a perfect musical IQ of 700 points, Miss Claire King. Congratulations to you, Miss King. The congratulations and 10 tickets to the Philharmonic concerts at the Lewisham Stadium and an autographed copy of Dean Taylor's Of Men and Music. Our other three contestants will also receive copies of Mr. Taylor's book.
So, you think you know music? Well... Well, tune in again next Sunday, same time and same station, when Ted Kott returns to Master the Ceremonies on Columbia's Hour of Musical Fun with Judge Macaluso and four new fearless contestants. A limited number of tickets are available to persons in New York City and vicinity who would like to attend this program. Address your application to the Hour of Musical Fun, 485 Madison Avenue, New York City. This is David Ross speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.